Hey gang, welcome. It is We Watch Stuff number 108. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end, and if you're listening on SoundCloud, enjoy it while it lasts, kids. So, what's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. About to start a well-deserved and vacation. The first time I've taken a full week off in about 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, like normally I take like 2 days off here or like three there, like have like a 4 or 5 day weekend, and like my wife's birthday is next week, so I took the whole week off and took Friday off and had both weekends off. So yeah, I'm off to the 24th, and even after that I'll still have like 2.5 weeks of vacation time saved up. That's cool.
Yeah, that's funny. You've only taken what, like a few days off here and there, make like long weekends or something?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, sometimes it's better.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, that's true, but it's like, I don't know why I was saving it before, because like, I wanted to have like a balance just in case, but like, after a while, you have to use it anyway, you start to lose it. And I think the main thing that happened this year is because I didn't go to WrestleMania, and that's where I normally use like maybe 4 days or 5 days, and this year is the first year in 6 years that I haven't gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but that's cool. Oh, so how I enjoyed my vacations after work. I went to Chipotle because I got my wife and her mom's like two bowls, and then I got me two, and I was like, you know what, it's vacation time, so I'm like, I want two steak bowls. Like, oh, it's the meat. I'm like, yeah, I want four scoops each, and she stopped and she was like, four scoops of steak? I'm like, yeah, for both of them. I'm like, yeah. Can we get some more steak, please? They got the whole bin of steak, and they used the entire bin. And then they didn't know when the lady was like, I just gave you a fresh one. I'm like, she's like, I just had 8 scoops. And then she's looking around. She's like, how many bowls you make? And then she looks up at me. Then the cashier's like, well, how do you ring this up? Like, 8? They're looking at me like I was a bodybuilder, some protein powder, something like that. They're like, you having a party? I'm like, no, this is just for me. Is it bulking season? I'm like, just ring up my damn food.
How do I ring this up? Do I look like I work here? So, no, if I can afford 4 scoops of meat in each bowl, I don't work here. So
yeah, like they're asking questions just like, you know, did I ring this up right and everything? Are you sure? I'm like, yes. I want 4 scoops and cheese. I want a diet. Yeah, so but yeah, no, the faces they made were hilarious, because I don't think they've, you know, gotten an order like that, and it came, well, they come out to like 50 something dollars. They're like, who spends that much in Chipotle?
Holy shit. And it's, yeah, National French Fry Day, and you went to Chipotle?
Yeah, well, I didn't, it's the only fries I like. Yeah, they had the thing. I didn't feel like stopping at Popeyes to get their fries, and I don't get, like, Burger King fries and McDonald's fries used to be awesome until they changed the whole hydrogenated fat thing. When they had this, you remember when they did this whole, yeah, we gotta, and it's funny, you could tell I used to be a fat kid, because I remember when that happened, because a lot of foods start tasting worse.
Yes.
French fries tasted worse, Entenmann's cakes and pies tasted worse, and Pop-Tarts fell the hell off.
This is a perfect former fat, like, I'm getting there. This is a perfect former fat guy conversation, because you can't see me, but I'm sitting here nodding my head in agreement for everything you're saying. And everything you said.
Yeah, and I explained, I'm like, you can tell exactly what happened. Like, it tastes different, and it tastes worse. And they're like, how can you tell? I'm like, if you used to eating something, and then it changes, you'll notice. And it didn't change for the better. And health or whatever, like, if you were all healthy food, don't go over to Burger King. Like, bring back my crappy grease as the flavor. Bring back those extra hydrogen particles that made the food taste better. If I have a stroke at 60 instead of 70, that is my fault. I take full responsibility.
Different subject, but
yeah.
Do you remember when they used to use animal fat instead of vegetable fat?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those were delicious back then. And then they just totally changed it around. And then Burger King changed their fries to begin with. And I'm not a fast food person outside of Taco Bell. I know, but whatever. I can't stand Burger King. That's all I used to eat when I was a kid. My mom wasn't much of a cook. Let's just put it that way. And I've told you the one arm girl story, right? At Burger King when I was little.
No, you did not.
All right. So, now mind you, I am 43, and this is back when I'd say I was 6 or 7 years old. When we were in Dearborn, there was a Burger King near the house. So, you know, when I was good or when mom didn't feel like cooking, whatever, I get to go to Burger King, and I get my Whopper and no pickle, no onion. I had to order it myself. That was a thing, you know, get me to have social skills. Well, we went one day, and the girl, I mean, it was grabbing stuff out of the bin and handing orders, taking orders, all that stuff. And I noticed she was missing an arm, and it was missing from the elbow down. So she still had, like, the bicep, tricep, and then the nubs on the end. I lost my shit. I remember this vividly. And my mom was looking at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? That's the first time I'd ever seen something like that. I didn't know that was possible at that age. I refused to go. I refused to order. My mom was like, well, we're not going to eat then. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want anything. So we left. I'm like, okay. So then she tried to get me to go to Burger King again. And I refused to go. So she finally, like, her friend went and came back, and I was like, oh, this is great. I haven't done this in a long time, whatever. So it got to the point where I would slowly started going back, but I would only check to see if that girl wasn't working there. So if this is how you know I was an only child, by the way. So if we were driving in the old Burger Kings, they had in the very front of the building was the register, and then around the side was where all the seating was, not like today where it's kind of worked in. So you could see from the street if who was working the counter. It got to the point where I never really got over it, I guess, but we went in and I didn't see her, or we were driving by, I didn't see her. I was like, yeah, let's go in there. She was making the food. And I started getting wide-eyed again. And my mom goes, what the hell's wrong with you? And then she finally put two and two together. And she goes, are you scared of that girl back there? And I'm like, uh-huh. She goes, why are you scared? It's like, she looks weird. Now, mind you, I'm still 6. This is 37 years ago or whatever it is. She made she didn't make the girl, but she asked the girl to come out here to talk to me. Just to prove she was human, basically. One, you know how embarrassing that is? Because I wanted nothing to do more than run. I didn't want to be there, and I was like basically boxed in by my mom, who was much bigger than me at the time. And then we went to Burger King again. She was never there again. So maybe I got her to quit at a young age. Ruining people's lives at a young age.
Boy.
Yeah.
You started early. Congratulations, Randy Orton.
You know, sometimes Anakin Skywalker was an evil little kid. He wasn't always Jake Lloyd. But, yeah. But, no, I used to love Burger King, but I think the food's just nasty as fuck now.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, fast food for me, I used to eat. Like, I didn't have it, like, before. It's kind of like they weren't in the neighborhood. Like, we lived in Philly, so you kind of had to go out and about to get fast food
because
it wasn't, like, local or anything like that. And my mom was not – she didn't believe in that crap anyway. So, like, I didn't get, like, name brand, like, Pizza Hut till I was almost a teenager. Like, I had been, like, maybe, like, 14 to 15. And then I was like, there's nothing special. So I used to get fast food, like, you know, every now and then, McDonald's, Burger King, stuff like that. I've never had Taco Bell, like, once in my life.
Wow.
I don't know why. Yeah, and it's funny, like, they just opened a new one up, like, down the street. I just want to go out of curiosity. Like, I've never gone. And it's not, like, a snob thing. It's just, like, I never, like, before I didn't have the opportunity. Then I didn't think about it. And then once I started working, it's kind of like Five Guys, you know, Chipotle, like that higher-level fast food. Like, I still go to Popeyes all the time. I go to KFC occasionally. So, but, yeah, it's kind of like I haven't. The only time I go, like, Burger King, McDonald's now, like, if we're driving, we're on the road, and we just need something.
Ours is Subway. I mean, I'll look for a Jimmy John's or a Jersey Mike's, but we had Wendy's one time when we were going to Greenville, and I was sick. Like, I just, and my mom was like, we eat greasy food all the time. I'm like, yeah, there's a difference between, like, good food and fast food. No, there's not. Okay, Mom, you're almost 70, so that's fine. So, whatever. But yeah. No, yeah, but the French fries, McDonald's, Wendy's, they mess their fries up because they just cover them in sea salt now, so you can't taste the whatever they say are potatoes.
So that's what that. I heard somebody make that comment.
Yeah, they used to be really good, and then they went healthy, so they were skin on potatoes with sea salt, and it's like they just chop, like, take a grater of sea salt over them, and however big the chunks are, just eat it. So like, all right, okay. And then what was some of the others? I'm trying to think of Cam's post. Five Guys Cajun, of course.
Five Guys is kind of like, they just give me too many. That's always my thing. Like, it's good, but like after a while, like, I just realized I ate three whole potatoes.
And not small ones either.
No. So, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like Wendy's and like Burger King used to be like, Burger was always the one I remember back in the day before they changed their recipe, and like McDonald's was second. I didn't go to like a lot of like Arby's and whatever, but yeah, for me now it's like Popeyes because they're consistently good. Like, it might be sometimes when Five Guys taste the best, but Five Guys, you make so many fries and they're so big, it's not always consistent. Like, I never have to worry about Popeyes fries. There might be some times where I worry about Five Guys. And same thing like KFC, like when their fries are good, like they use those big potato wedges too. And when they're good, they're awesome. But it's hard to do those.
Like, you know what's funny? Well, I've never been to Popeyes. We've got two down the road. I've just never even considered going there. And I didn't know Kentucky Fried Chicken had French fries. I always got the mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there in a long time either because we had the saddest experience. Because the ones in Greenville turned into buffets. So you couldn't even get like a fresh one. You just say it was just a buffet, unless you were getting it to go, which I think they just took whatever was still out on the buffet and put it in a box and canned it to you. And I'm like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'll find the real place to go. But yeah. But anyways, I got distracted when we were talking because you said wrestling talk real quick. The Mae Young Classic Parade of Champions, which is kind of funny. First things first, I've had it running, just seeing the names, and then I just felt it feels kind of creepy. These girls, one girl was wearing garter belts,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of seemed like, you know, when it's, what is it, top of the hour, when all the girls come on stage. That's what I kind of had that feeling. But outside of that, you said Jade from TNA, she's here. Marty Bell is also in this.
Also from TNA.
Yeah.
I remember they both quit.
I didn't. Oh, I knew Jade was gone. I didn't know Marty Bell was gone. I mean, not that I'm keep. Oh, I'm sorry. With Global Force Wrestling, not that I'm keeping up with it, but I didn't know she was gone. So that was kind of a surprise to see her come out and stand in the ring. So good for her.
Yeah, I just put it back on myself and just watching, like, I got to wear Tessa Blanchett. It's just amazing as the fact where this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tournament of, like, women, like, all over the world. And it's like, you know, they're treating it like this UK championship and the Cruiserweight Classic and the tag team. Like, and fans, like, people are into it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one.
And it's just like, who would have guessed, like, maybe even, like, 5 years ago or 4 years ago that this would have been a thing? And now it's kind of like, you know, it's a thing. And we've talked about it on different shows. Like, it's a generation now where women grew up watching the women, like, the late 90s and 2000s. And now a lot of those women are, like, here now. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm wrestling because, like, I saw Trish Stratus, and I wanted to be Trish Stratus. And now they have a chance to get treated a lot better than a lot of those women ever were.
Mm-hmm. Make more money, probably, too.
And kind of like how they don't all look the same. That's the biggest thing I noticed. Like,
yeah.
they don't look this. They don't, like, you know, that cookie color look. Like, they just like women. Some of them are short. Some of them are tall. They have different body types, different, you know, nationalities, different races, and they just put over as athletes. And some of them look like damn monsters.
Yes, there was one, I forgot her name, but yeah, she looked like she was about 6'4". And then there's another girl that looks like she's got something from either Nia Jax or Tamina's wardrobe. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, I'm thinking she cemented her spot on the roster if they ever decide to put the three of them together. Oh, boy. But, yeah, Santana Garrett's in here. Isn't that Eddie Guerrero's daughter?
No, that's somebody else. Okay. Eddie Guerrero was Shaw. What was the name? Shaw or Shaw Guerrero?
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I just saw this girl when Reyna Gonzalez. She gotta be like, that's a tall. That's a some of these women like they like 6'3", 6'4", about 220, 230.
Well, it's funny you said all shapes and sizes. Like this Piper Nevin that just came up. I'll be honest, she's an overweight girl, and she just kind of fits in, so that's pretty sweet. No, I mean...
Shayna Baszler from UFC.
Oh, is that who that is?
I remember that name. She used to be in MMA.
Oh, all right. Okay. Good God, there are some tall women in this thing, man.
Oh, yeah, I just saw Piper Nevin. Yeah, she wouldn't have had a, job like 10 years ago.
One thing I am noticing, though, is that it's apparently becoming kind of hard to come up with an original arm motion. A lot of people are doing the same thing. So, anyways. No, it's cool. If for anybody who's been on the site, listened to our shows from the beginning, I have been clamoring for more women's wrestling. And I've been, since the network started, repeatedly said they have enough women as it is, they can do a women's show. Record it before, like they do with 205 Live. Or hell, now that they've got Full Sail, record some shows there. I mean... they don't have to be main roster people because they're, depending on your point of view, they're getting their shot on TV now, even though the results are kind of mixed with SmackDown because everything's a multi-woman match. But there's enough, like, for original content, you already have everything set up at Full Sail. Just create a show there. And the winner of that, you know, you can break it off. NXT, create a women's NXT if you want to, for God's sake. Do it that way. The network's got so many possibilities, and just seeing all the women that are standing outside this ring and now parading through, there's plenty of talent there. And of course, I am judging this off of numbers. I have no idea if any of these women are actually good enough to be on TV.
Yeah, I know. One that's scheduled to win from, what's her name, Kairi Sane, that came from Japan, she's definitely, she could basically be, she's kind of like, you know, you remember her, she was in Lucha Underground.
Was she one of the Black Lotus?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The one that had that super elbow drop.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, in fact, it's a funny story before we even get to, our main thing.
Oh, they changed Jane's name to Maya Yim, unless that's her real name.
That's a real name.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny where they weren't going to let her use that move because Bayley was using it. And I guess enough people complained that not only did Lena use it, they hyped the move. That elbow drop she uses is, insanely beautiful. That's probably the most gorgeous elbow drop I've ever seen in my life, beside Macho Man. That thing is a work of art. So the fact that they let her use it, and the fact that they hyped it up on, WWE.com, her world-class, world-famous elbow.
I need to go to WWE.com more, I think. You know what's funny? I haven't seen why this is the way it is, and then we'll get off the wrestling thing, unless something huge happens. Oh, no, that's not Sexy Star. Okay, anyways. Why is it the Mae Young Classic instead of the Fabulous Moolah? Because they used to be all about Fabulous Moolah, and now it's just Mae Young.
I don't know. Maybe because it's kind of like... the Moolah thing always felt kind of, wrong... because, they made him... no, because, the kayfabe stuff was, longest reigning champ and yada, yada, yada. But, the real stuff was always kind of seen, kind of shady and shaky. She was a bully and she wasn't that good and everything. And it's kind of even when they go on TV, Mae Young was the more beloved one, even though Moolah was the more famous one and the more accomplished one. But for whatever reason, people liked Mae Young more.
Yeah, it's funny because apparently, from listening to different stories, she's kind of a piece of shit, too.
But yeah,
I guess because she gave birth to a hand, and taking bumps at 90 or whatever it was. So who the hell is that? It's funny because there's a lot of women that were in Shimmer are in this, and I know Shimmer's not exactly doing that well, but So anyways, sorry, that was just one of the impromptu things. It's cool. I'm just happy that this is going to go on, and if they treat it like they did the Cruiserweight Classic, it's going to be really good. As long as the talent's there.
I mean, they will, because one, like, they got Jim Ross doing it, and then Stephanie loves hyping up the women. Like, they, you know, that makes her feel special, for better or for worse. So they're going to give it, like, respect and time.
My thing is, I know I said to get off wrestling, but just real fast. Stephanie's the public face of the company. She's smiling. She's out there with kids. She's promoting women. She's doing this, doing that, all these things with a smile and, you know, just being the genuinely what I think looks like a really nice person. I know they're going to bring her back to TV and she's going to be a heel, and that just kind of sucks. Because I think it would be better to have, like, and I understand the reasoning is, well, they know we're acting. Okay, cool. But it'd just be kind of cool to have her just be a face for a while. I don't know if she could do it.
It's tough because, no, the issue is, it's funny where, I remember, like, when she was on SmackDown and she was a GM as a face, it worked. But I think the way the crowd is, I don't know if they would let her. It's kind of like she's, it's hard for her to be likable. Even though she does a lot of, like, real-life likable stuff, it's like she does too much of that McMahon. Like, Shane's the only, like, McMahon that's, like, naturally likable.
Yeah.
Out of them. Like, even when Vince tries to be it, it's just too much of that. It's just too much McMahon blood that just comes off. Like, and then the stuff you hear, and, like, especially she was a bully and belittling men and women all that time before Kurt Angle showed up. And it's like, this. Yeah, time will have to go by, like a whole lot of time go by, people forget about it. And it's funny you bring that up, because it reminds me of Triple H, where it's hard because Triple H, the character, the wrestler, he's a heel that you boo and everything like that, but then it's the same Triple H, the guy behind NXT, or Triple H, the guy that hires Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe, that is, I make the joke, like, he's Paul Heyman had a gym membership. He'd somehow become Triple H. That's what Triple H is. Like, him coming out NXT, bringing out Mauro Ranallo, redoing his deal. Like, the people that go on the internet knows all that. So, it's like, it's kind of hard to boo the Triple H character when the real, quote-unquote, Triple H is does so well. Like, he basically plays toward people like us.
And it's funny, because Triple H, I remember the last time he got booed at NXT was when Seth Rollins went to attack him, and he called security instead of fighting. You know, because people didn't like that. Which is funny, because they're just cheering him, and now they want to see him get his ass kicked. Like, wait, we're turning on fan mode all of a sudden? It's like, okay. But, to your point, though, yeah, exactly. But, alright. Last wrestling bit, unless something else works its way in. Yeah, well, let's talk about Black Panther real quick, which I know has been, like, 4 weeks in a row, but hey, whatever. I'm excited to see this movie now. Those pictures in Entertainment Weekly, it did nothing to diffuse my excitement for this movie. It looks different, and having read the Christopher Priest run, it looks like they took a lot from that. With him and Killmonger, fighting, which is right out of his run. And I'm like, are they going to do that fight? Because that lasted like 3 issues in the comic book. And it would be a weird thing to see, because you've got two guys trying to kill each other, and then one goes, hey, are you tired? We can take a break. It's just the weirdest thing. But
yeah, like, I'm just more than anything, like, you know, everyone that's in there looks like, one, they're excited to be there. Two, they want to do the best job, you know, possible. And it's like, they just have all this, it's like they're trying to do it, like, as accurate as possible. Like, they want to be accurate to the comics while taking out the problematic stuff. They want to be, you know, embrace like different African cultures, and just show, like, they're going all in. And it's almost kind of like, you know, what would happen if you had people that's going all in on something you haven't seen before, and you had Disney's money, and they say, do whatever you want. Like, really, it's kind of like think about all the stuff, like, we talked about when we were kind of like kids. Who is, like, you know, the last time we had Black Panther, like, the BET low budget, it was like a motion comic thing, and that was cool, but it was like, you know, it is what it is. And now you're getting this big budget, like, super big budget Disney tentpole movie that has nearly every famous black actor and actress on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know what, and this is part of the Marvel Universe, we're not going to do it stingy. We're not going to do it cheap. And you get to do it any way you want and just go with it. Like, that's unfathomable. And, like, the closer it gets to it, it's like, this is a thing, and this is actually happening. Like, they show little girls going to Wonder Woman, like, you know, they're seeing Wonder Woman and, like, doing the Wonder Woman poses, and they're like, that's why stuff like that's important. Imagine, like, you're a black kid and you never, you know, you want your own superhero, and then February comes out and you have this movie. That's a thing, like, because we've never really had anything. Like, I say, like, the closest thing we had was Blade, and that was a long ass time ago. And it's funny that people, yeah, and it was kind of like, people still talk about Blade. Like, that movie came out in the late 90s. It's almost 20 years ago, and people still talk about Blade. Like, people still bring it up. Like that movie, that's almost kind of like our Superman or our Batman was Blade, because it was just like, you never seen it, and then you see something that not only, like, when the first time seeing it, it was cool as hell, and it was good. It was kind of like stuff like that. Like, if you give people that never had anything something good, they will give you their money, and they will show you love forever. Like, it's, you know, it's a reason Wonder Woman is still making money. Like, it's still in the movie theater, and they're saying, like, you know, the best superhero, like, box office hold in 15 years. 15. Like, it's playing, like, the first Spider-Man.
When did Dark Knight come out?
Dark Knight came out, it came out the same year Iron Man came out.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, so yeah, that's only, like, 9 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's holding better than as far as drop. Like, the only domestic DC movies that's done better than Wonder Woman are Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. That's it. It's, domestic is done better than everything else DC's done. Considering, like, Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman had a big-ass head start, and it just, like, matter of fact, they're saying until The Last Jedi comes out, it's probably going to be, like, number one comic domestic, because it's going to pass Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and unless Spider-Man catches it, yeah, like, it's either going to be, like, comic-wise, it's going to be probably number one.
I'm trying to bring up the box office here to see. This is as of Wednesday. Yeah, Wonder Woman, it was $11 million behind Guardians, so yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll catch that in what, a couple weeks, because Wonder Woman is finally dropping off. You know, I mean, as expected. I mean, it's still doing about $1 million a day though. Tuesday, it's weird. Tuesday, for some reason, it did 1.6 million. And then Monday 1.1 and Wednesday 1.2. So a big spike on Tuesday for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, so Brian Alvarez just tweeted that Ronda Rousey and the Four Horsewomen was showed up at the Mae Young Classic, I guess, when they had the reveal of the women.
Oh. Well, was it one of the women trying to
Baszler, I thought was one of them. So
yeah.
And they've talked about, like, they're fans of wrestling, so that's been the thing. Like, that's been talked about. So it's fun. Like, you know, Ronda Rousey's been she's been a fan, and she did show up at Mania, and that whole big thing is like, talk about missed opportunity.
I still think you could pull it off, but yeah, it wouldn't have quite the punch that it would have. Obviously, no pun intended there, but I think her name's still big enough, and it's probably a few years before she becomes, like, Mike Tyson beloved status. Because Tyson had those rough years, you know, going to jail, right or wrong, just don't want to get into that, because it was wrong. But then he was, you know, then he came the sad Mike Tyson, then, you know, losing his daughter, I think it was, and then going off the deep end again, and then coming back, and I guess thanks to the Hangover movies...
Yeah, like Hangover, doing different stuff, the comedy,
the cartoon,
like, he just, I guess if you wait it out and do enough stuff that's likable, people will get back on the bandwagon. Yeah. Like, all Ronda Rousey has to do is, like, do a successful movie where she has a role.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't really do anything wrong, she just lost.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's the whole, it's funny, you know, they build you up just to knock you down, like,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like, all she did was what she was supposed to do. it's not, she's not out there like the whole, it's funny where it wasn't that long ago, people were talking about, you know, who would win in a fight between her and Floyd Mayweather, and they said that in like a serious tone. Like, it sounds ridiculous then, it sounds even worse in hindsight, but like, that was a thing, and it's like, that tells you how popular she was at her height. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that people were having that conversation. This was, Floyd wasn't even retired yet, and Floyd was like still undefeated, best boxer on the planet, and people was wondering, oh, you know, maybe she could beat him. Like, people who should know better were saying nonsense like that.
Yeah, well, maybe not boxing. I don't know what her ground game would be like against him, if he would be able to handle a ground game. That's why this whole McGregor thing, thank God for these press conferences, because these are the only entertaining thing they're going to do.
Yeah, before we jump in there, I'm glad you brought that up, because this whole thing is just, it's hard for me, because they're both unlikable in different ways, and it's kind of like, you know, Floyd Mayweather is a dirtball woman beater that makes a lot of money, but has no money management skills. It's kind of like, he's smart making money, he's dumb spending it, and he just comes off as just so coarse and unlikable, but at the same time, he's probably one of the top three or four defensive fighters that's ever lived. And it's a reason why he's undefeated, made as much as he made. And then at the same time, you got Conor McGregor that's really kind of like this. You know, people are like, oh, he's just this love guy. He's a loudmouth bigot. Like, if you hear some of the stuff he says, like, it sounds nice, because it's like he comes out doing the Vince McMahon walk and he's over the top, so people don't pay any mind. I'm like, really listen to some of the stuff he talked about. Like, you know, even like the stuff that come out like this week, first is the whole telling Floyd to dance for him, calling him boy, and then he was like on Jimmy Kimmel. It's some joke about like Rocky, like, you know, wouldn't be a better fight.
It's about Rocky 3.
The one with the monkeys dancing in it. I'm like, did you watch the Betamax version?
Did he really? Oh, I didn't know he said that. Yes. God damn, that's rough. That's some rough shit right there. The boy thing doesn't bother me, because he always calls people that. So
yeah, I was explaining to someone, like, you know, under normal circumstances, it wouldn't be a thing, but there's history involved with, like, people calling black men boys and telling them to dance. Like, it's kind of loaded. And I would give kind of the benefit of the doubt if I didn't hear how he talked about Nick Diaz and how he talked about Jose Aldo. Like, Aldo talking about, I'd go on the horse and ride in the favelas and murder anybody who couldn't work hard enough. You know, and Cocker, yes, and then, yes.
It's just like, funny, because honestly, I don't think he means any of this shit. He knows how to get a rise up. I mean,
yeah, but
right or wrong, he knows what he's doing.
Like, it works in UFC, because that crowd eats that up, but you can't be calling people cholo gangbangers and stuff like that and then wonder why people are kind of looking at you side-eyes. It's like, what's, like, a little, it's almost kind of like, hold on a second. Like, it gets lovable until after a while, like, you know, it's a certain pattern, and then somebody say, well, he does it with everybody. Well, being an equal opportunity bigot is still a bigot. Just because you get on everybody, like, Gran Torino was the same way. Nobody was rooting for Clint Eastwood in that movie till the end when he died.
I forgot he died at the end of that. That's been a long time since I've even seen that movie.
Yeah, I'm like, yes, because Clint Eastwood was racist to Asians. He was racist to black people. He even made fun of white people. Like, yeah, Clint Eastwood hated everybody. He was still hating people. He was still a bigot. Just because he hit all targets, it's not like something we should clap. I guess better to pick on all the, someone say better pick on all of them than pick on one, because at least you know where you stand or something like that. But yeah, that fight, and people still telling them, so like, oh, you know, McGregor might win. I'm like, yeah, if he shoots him, if Floyd blows a leg out, yeah, he'll win. Other than that, it's like, we've seen the great white hype. We know how this goes. I don't know why people are convincing themselves like this is not going to turn out anyway. Then,
well,
Floyd
this,
either.
I mean, at least that was boxing. This is a guy that doesn't box.
Yeah,
you know, like, so it's like, it's even less of a chance. It's just like, I don't get how
dumb.
This could ever happen. Like,
yeah, it's money. It's not for people that know better. It's for people that don't know better. And then especially when it comes to fights, like, one of the beauty things about combat sports is, like, the whole race thing has always been a thing, and it gets that whole racial pride. Like, and all you gotta do is just watch Rocky and see that. And then the whole thing is, like, it's a lot of people, like, you know, Conor McGregor's the great white hero, and Floyd's a dirtball, and Floyd fights like a coward and everything. It's like, you know, Money Mac can get the lucky punch, and he just got to hit him one time, and he can do it for the good, and like, yeah, whatever. Like, you don't know any better, but you think the hype and stuff, like, all the press conference stuff is to get, like, the casual guy that doesn't know any better. Like, maybe he'll have a chance. Maybe he'll do it. You know, Floyd is almost 40, and he's
unless
old.
They change the rules right before to where Conor can tackle him, it ain't happening.
Yeah, it's like, all you gotta do is just watch one Floyd Mayweather. Like, there's people in the Boxing Hall of Fame that he has embarrassed, and they box. Conor McGregor does not box. He might throw punches well in the octagon. That's like saying LeBron James plays football well for a basketball player. That doesn't make him a football player. There's a difference. And I'm just getting to the point where Conor might get under his skin enough that Floyd might try to, like, seriously hurt him if he wants to. Because Floyd Mayweather is, people forget, he's a vindictive human being. And, like, he's a nasty human being. Like, he could, and, you know, that whole he doesn't box in real life, that can be very dangerous. You get in a ring with somebody that really boxes and that's pissed off that you trash them, talking about, you know, why don't you pay your taxes? Maybe because you can't read. That's why you owe money. Like, you know, those jokes sound nice in press conferences like that. It's going to be different when it's in a ring. And it's like, yeah, I remember all those words. Now you're going to catch these hands for 45 minutes.
I also wonder, now that with all of his supposed financial problems, if this is why he even agreed to do this, because wasn't it the rumor that he's getting $100 million for this fight? Like, each guy is getting like $100 million at the least.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense, because I still don't get why he even bothered with this, other than
it's an easy
money.
Check.
Yeah, that's, I mean, why. Money. Yeah. So, and that's why the only reason I mentioned that is, like, you're saying he's going to wear him out. It's like, why bother? He's not even going to need to.
I mean, the way he spends money, and it's kind of like, it's easy money, especially, and then Floyd's always been anti, like, he was famous for saying, all UFC is some made-up sport white people made up who couldn't box. That's one of the first things he said. Like, he's always been kind of like anti-UFC, and then the mixed MMA guys talking about boxing ain't really fighting, it's just a part of fighting. Like, we do real fighting, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, no, fights are fights. This whole who win in a real fight, because the octagon's not a real fight. You can't poke somebody in the eyes or punch somebody in the nuts in an MMA fight. So this whole, you can't hit somebody, you can hit somebody in the chair, stab them in a real fight too. That doesn't make MMA, you can't do that in UFC.
Well, there are rules to these, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, all right. We got so far off track with this. But yes, looking forward to Black Panther. You mentioned Batman, and you saw the news, Matt Reeves is getting rid of the Ben Affleck script, and they're starting all over. Which, I wonder if that means no Deathstroke now.
Maybe.
Which, I mean,
maybe.
I guess they could use in a Justice League movie eventually, but, you know, we already saw pictures and all this.
Yeah, it's the whole, somebody brought up a good point. It's kind of tough when you go from fighting somebody like, you know, world-level villain, like, you know, extension-level event villain, like, Doomsday, till you fighting Deathstroke. It's kind of like, you know, normally you start low and go high, and it'd be tough. And the whole thing is like, I mean, you could do it. It seems weird. That seems kind of like low stakes, if that's all it is. But, you know, if you're going to do the movie, you want to do it your way. You want to do it from scratch. Yeah. I doubt Ben Affleck cares that much. Like, his ego thing. Like, I still get to be Batman out. And if something goes wrong, it ain't my fault.
Also, do you think he's not going to have input into this?
I'm sure, because like he's still Ben Affleck. He still has a thing, and it helps that Matt Reeves is respected. Like, he's one of those rare directors that makes blockbuster movies that are liked and make a lot of money. Like, the Planet Ape, that second Planet Apes movie made almost as much as Winter Soldier made.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. What made? Wait, that what?
The second Planet Apes movie, the one that came out before the ones about to came out,
Dawn
made. Yeah, made around the same amount that Winter Soldier made worldwide. Wow. Yes. The first Planet of Apes movies made more than Thor and Captain America made.
You know, it's funny you said that, because I actually have that on in the background, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. All right, we'll finish Batman real quick. But, yeah, so I thought that was interesting, and then to figure out what changes it leads to, because, well, J.K. Simmons, I guess, he wasn't in Batman versus Superman, was he?
No.
He's supposed to be in the Batman, so I wonder if that's going to be affected. I'm guessing Commissioner Gordon will be in it. But
yeah, well, he'll be, like I'm saying, you know, you'll see him in Justice League, so you know he's...
Oh, that's right.
He's officially there, like he was in the trailer. So, I mean, look, I've always been the opinion of, like, take as much time as you need. Mm-hmm. It's Batman. If you do a good Batman movie, people will go... Like, Batman movies make money. Even the bad ones make a lot of money. Like, just do it well. Take the time you need to take to get it right, and then do it. And everything else will take care of itself.
And with Batman, it seems... Well, I mean, obviously, the Joel Schumacher prove us wrong, but Batman's proven to just print money. So...
Yeah, even the Joel Schumacher movies, like... Batman Forever made more than Batman Returns did. Like, that movie was a monster movie. Like, Batman and Robin did okay, but that was the one that kind of, like, murdered Batman to the point that Batman Begins didn't make as much as it should have, because it's like, I don't know. I don't know about Batman, because the last one.
It is amazing. I mean, good movies like Planet of the Apes. Are you going to see the new one in the theaters?
Yeah, but we're going to see it next week. And it's weird where this kind of franchise that is not a happy franchise. No. Like, it's well done movies. They're very good movies, but they aren't. It's kind of like like I said last time, like, they're kind of depressing movies. Like, the first one ends with, you know, oh, human beings are about to die. Mm-hmm. Like, the second one deals with, like, you're about to have a war where you know, human beings are about to die because these smart monkeys about to take over, and even the monkeys had issues. Like, it didn't end on, like, it could have ended peacefully, but enough stuff happened, like, I guess they got a fight. Like,
yeah, Scar's, yeah, Scar, on my TV, Scar is just about to get in a fight with Caesar, so I'm at the end of it. But what I'm on the fence about going to see it. I've seen the other two, but I've only seen them on TV, so I'm like, well, why break the string? But this new one looks insane. I mean,
yeah,
monkeys riding around on, or chimpanzees, whatever, riding around on horses. And apparently, I was reading, Woody Harrelson does such a good job, they're talking Oscar nomination for it. Which, it's not going to happen, because he's in a monkey movie. But it's insane. It's insanity to even think that.
If it would, it'd be these movies, because these movies are so critically acclaimed and make so well. And that's the fact that it never blinks out. Like, you watch these movies and never think about, like, these are monkeys riding horses with machine guns, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look ridiculous. Like, that's how good the special effects are. Like, that's how great Andy Serkis is. It's kind of like, it's a shame he hasn't been nominated yet because he's so awesome in it. And then the fact that you're thinking about, I'm watching a monkey ride a horse, and it doesn't seem stupid.
And throwing grenades, like, shooting guns.
Yeah, like, and it's like, they treat with gravitas and everything. And I've been thinking about this year with, like, movies, like the comic movies and stuff like that, where... You've had a lot of great movies. You had a lot of movies that, like, sad. Like, it says something where, up until now, Guardians is probably, like, the fourth best comic movie that came out. And in most years, it'd be one easily. And that just tells you, like, how great this year has been for, like, comic movies. Like, starting off with Logan and continuing up until, which we both saw recently, Spider-Man.
Yeah. And that's where all this was leading to, kids. Yes, we saw Spider-Man. Really enjoyed it. It was a fun Spider-Man movie, which I think's been missing, especially those last two atrocities. And then the third one, the Sam Raimi one, that wasn't exactly fun either. So it was cool seeing him in high school and all, like, you know, the interaction with him and Tony Stark, even Aunt May, who was barely in it, but. It's not about her. It's about the Spider-Man and the kids, basically. So, I had a really good time watching it, and I really enjoyed the after-credit scenes, too.
Yeah. I asked Darlene how she felt, because I was curious, and I'll tell you how I felt. She was like, you know, I liked it. It was okay. And then I was like, what's wrong? Like, her whole thing was, and it's funny because it tells a lot about why some people are, like, apprehensive about Spider-Man. She likes the big spectacle movies, like Civil War, Winter Soldier, Wonder Woman, like, when a lot of stuff is going on, and it's, like, you know, action high stakes. And she felt like Spider-Man was, like, too young. Like, not the story. It's kind of like, you know, it's low-stakes stuff. And it's curious because I think for other people, that's what's so refreshing about it. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of the movie, and it was weird because it's real low stakes. Like, it's just funny. Like, the whole thing is he's trying to figure out how to balance school, talk to this girl, try to be an Avenger, and the whole climax of the movie is like, you know, this guy that got screwed out of a job is trying to steal a plane of weapons to sell them, and that's it. That's all. Like, and to take care of his family, and like, it wasn't this whole, if he doesn't get stopped, he's going to rule the East Coast or rule America. Like, if he doesn't get stopped, he'll just sell more weapons. So maybe some banks will get knocked down, and that's like, because eventually, it's only so far they could go with that, like, as far as those stakes for us. And the fact that it was so kind of, like, insular is, like, that's what people talk about. Like, you can tell different stories. It doesn't all have to be save the world, save the universe. And like you said, high school, like, you haven't seen that, yeah, like, in comics. Like, and you haven't really seen that with Spider-Man. Like, it was young Spider-Man. He's in high school, and he's doing high school stuff, and he's caring about high school things, and he's getting in detention, and little stuff like that. And the cast was this, and I like how updated the cast was. Like, the fact that they took things like, you know, Flash is still a bully, but back in the day, he's like some musclehead meathead, and in this time, he's just this rich Indian asshole. But he's still a dick. But it's kind of like updated for the 21st century. And they don't beat you. And they don't beat you over the head with stuff like that. Like, it looks a lot different. And I loved it.
One thing I was happy about was that Flash Thompson. No Harry Osborn. I was very happy about that, because I think that's been done. The Green Goblin stuff's been done to death. And I guess if they make a third one of these, I'm guessing he'll be in the third one once they get the Sinister Six together. Well, anyway, he wasn't part of the Sinister Six, was he?
Yeah, but you can do whatever you want now.
Yeah.
I mean, because they kind of like took stuff from regular and Ultimate Spider-Man and combined it. Like, this is a universe where Peter Parker and Miles Morales exist in the same universe. They even hinted at it in the movie. It's kind of like, you would only know if you read Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes, and that's what I was telling my dad, like, after the movie with, like, the Prowler, well, Donald Glover's character. I was like, yeah, that's his nephew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's his nephew in the Ultimate Comics. And I was like, in the Ultimate Comics, Peter Parker died. And then this kid got bit by another radioactive spider, or the same one, right? Something like that, and then he became Spider-Man in the Ultimate Comics, and now they merged them together, so in the comics, they're both around. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and as...
You know, just a little bit of explanation, but you don't need to know that to enjoy the movie, though. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of stuff. Like, I grew up a Marvel thing, so I knew a lot about Spider-Man. But the Ultimate stuff, I didn't know as much as. But I didn't necessarily need it to enjoy the movie. One thing I definitely like is kind of like people are wondering about the whole, like, Iron Man. He was not in it a lot. Like, no. I think people were kind of thinking it was going to be, like, the Iron Man show featuring Spider-Man. Like, he was just there for, like, three scenes, and he was basically there, you know, I do some lifting here, I set the tone in the middle of the movie, and I wrap it up at the end. The rest of the time was, like, he's interacting with Ned, and he's interacting with, like, it's funny that Jon Favreau was in the movie way more than Robert Downey Jr. was. Like, and I think that helps us kind of, like, you know, you don't need him. It's Spider-Man's story. And you don't need, you know, Iron Man, you know, overshadowing Spider-Man. Like, he's there to serve a purpose, but it's still the Spider-Man show. And I like how they reinforced it. And speaking of reinforcing, we talk about villains. Boy, I was enjoying the hell out of Michael Keaton in this movie.
He's the best Marvel villain they've had. I want to make sure I get this right before I say it. I want to say ever, but probably not ever. But
I'd say if he ain't one, he's 1A, because... He's not really, you could really sympathize with him, like, real easy, and you wouldn't have to, like, you know, twist your arm to do it. And I think they did a good job telling the story. It's kind of like, you know, he had a legitimate business, and it just got sideswiped by Tony Stark, and it's kind of like, that tends to happen a lot in these movies, like Tony Stark pissing people off and not even knowing about it, and it comes to bite people in the ass. And this whole thing is like, I'm just doing this, you know. We the little people on the ground trying to make a living. Nobody gives a damn about us. And I got to do what I got to do. Not like to get, you know, be rich or greedy. Like, I got to take care of my family and my crew. That was his main thing. And he was just trying to keep a low profile and keep his head on the ground and handle business. And the fact that, like, Michael Keaton has so much weight and he just made, like, and I'll say this. I did not see that twist coming. Because at first I'm thinking, like, when they first had the house party with Liz, I'm like, that's a nice-ass house.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a real nice house. Like, and you didn't see her parents. But it still didn't click. I'm like, well, what do her parents do? Are they lawyers or doctors? Because it's kind of like, you know, you thinking they go to this, you know, this school for, like, advanced education, whatever. So someone might be on scholarship. But it's like, you know, Flash is rich because they already proved that. And then you see, like, the sports car and stuff.
Yeah.
So you think someone got money and someone going on scholarship. So you see Liz, like, okay, they kind of well off. He goes to prom and Michael Keaton opens up the door. Wow, you could have dropped a pin. Like, I think people in our theater was like, oh, shit. Like, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah, our theater had some gasp in it, and I was like, oh. I did not see that one coming.
And they played it so well because they didn't drop any clues or hints. You heard him say he was doing this for his family, and he cared about the family. You heard her, like, talking about important stuff, but she never really talked about her family.
Yeah.
So the only thing is kind of like, you know, she got money. And that's it. But it wasn't anything like that. So he opened up the door, and then it's like, wow. And I had the same face Peter Parker had, like, what the hell I'm going to do? And they played it perfectly. Like, he just terrorized and apprehension. And it's funny where Michael Keaton doesn't know who this guy is at first. And then as Liz starts talking and everything, oh, you know Spider-Man. And they had to run out and do this. And you could just feel, see the wheels turning and – I like the fact that they didn't treat him stupid. Like,
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't take a lot for him to figure out what it was. And that speech he gave him at the end of the car is like, you know, you didn't tell her. That's good. You keep things close to the vest. Like, you know, I'm going to give you one chance and everything. Like, just walk away because otherwise I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
And everybody
you love. And it's funny, like, we talked about before when we saw the trailer, like, you don't hear Marvel characters just blatantly say, like, and it's funny where he's still not treating Spider-Man like he's a big deal because he's letting him give him a chance to walk away. And normally it's like, he's only doing that because it's like, you know, he's this twerp that's getting in my business. And that whole thing is like, you know, I'm going to give you one chance. If you don't, I'm going to murder you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and he's saying this to, like, a high schooler. And he said it in a way like you could actually believe that he would kill Peter Parker if he had to take care of his family.
Yeah, well, and he basically, at the end, is like, yeah, I'm done with you, and I gave you a chance. And that was another thing, like, everyone, I've seen the low stakes or no stakes complaint, if you want to call it that. Well, yeah, he's breaking up a ring because, you know, he wants to, and also he's out to prove something. So, yeah, that's all it is. Sometimes it's very simple. And so I read somebody else saying, well, why is he breaking up this ring? He's a superhero, and they're what you consider the supervillains. This has been going on since the 30s.
Yeah, and
well,
it's
how
kind of
is
like,
this not self-explanatory?
Yeah, and it's like he was there. He saw what the weapons could do because normally it's like he's there. He's stopping a robbery, stopping somebody that's pickpocketing, anything like that. And then he stopped somebody robbing a bank, and they had a gun that burned down a store. And it's like, whoa, these are some high stakes. I can't let this just run around the neighborhood because even like Donald Glover, I laugh how different. Like, I just want a gun. Like, I just want to rob something. I don't want to send somebody back in time. Like. And I just laughed my ass off because he said it so deadpan, like he was half asleep. But it's like perfect. Like, these are waters I'm not trying to swim in. And he's the bad guy. He's like, even like this is a little too much. And this whole thing, that's what Spider-Man whole thing is kind of like, you know, I can't let this go on and anything like that. And it's funny where it's such a big deal to him and the conflict with him and Iron Man. And Iron Man's like, you know, I'd listen. Why you think the FBI was here? It's kind of like, you know, if you left well enough alone, I would have handled it. And I think part of the movie was kind of like Spider-Man overstepping his boundaries, trying to prove himself, and was making things worse. And that kept happening until he kind of figured out, like, you know, you got to know how to, like, you got to know when to jump. It's not just about how high you jump.
Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah. And I got totally hijacked here. Never mind. I'll tell you later. Yeah, it's the Keaton part I think helped because you've got Tom Holland who didn't do any research on him. Like, I don't know what else he's been in. So this is my first exposure to him, and I mean he was fine. It was funny because he's 21. He's playing like a 15 year old because they made a point of saying you're 14. He's like, oh, I'm 15. And going through all that, it was. It was nice to see like an actor with some serious chops in it. And I know Mr. Tomei's won an Academy Award, but I mean, goddamn, how long ago was that? And so to see Michael Keaton in there chewing scenery, going to the car scene, this is where I was trying to get back to. I was very pleased that Michael Keaton wasn't like, oh, well, that's awful coincidental, and just kept on going. I was like, no, this is a guy mm-hmm. that's been with his crew creating these weapons out of. I can't remember. What was the aliens' names? Whatever the aliens from the Avengers. Yeah. You know, using their stuff. And like you said, yeah, just laying low. But the fact that he's doing this for his family is like, well, how much money do you have? I mean, the car, the house. You're not living small, you know?
Yeah. It's not just his. You know, he wants the best for him. But it's not just his family. His friends, too. Like, yeah. The relationship between him and Bokeem Woodbine is kind of like, you know, they ride or die friends. And I like that, too, where it's kind of like, they looking out for each other, because even Bokeem is like, you know, we got the Avengers, like, we got Iron Man involved, the FBI, and like that, like, you know, anytime kind of wrap it up, and he's like, we got to do what we got to do to pay these bills, like, you down or not? He like, bet, because even when he gave Spider-Man a chance, and then Spider-Man tried to chase after him, who's the first person to know this? Come out, Bokeem Woodbine's like, he gave you a chance, and that's why this is happening, like, you need a friend like that. Like, you know, I'm down for the team and I got your back. Compared to the other guy that was talking all that trash, like, you know, oh, you gone soft. Maybe I need to tell people what's going on and it's like that. And that you saw how that ended. Like Shocker A start mouthing off and 10 seconds later he's getting mopped off the floor.
And well, swept off actually because he turned into ash. But I did like, I was trying to figure out the follow-up. He goes, wait a minute, I thought this was the stun gun or the anti-gravity gun. He goes, no, that's the demolisher, whatever he called it. He's like, oh. Oh. Like, he felt bad, but at the same time, it was kind of like, well, yeah. All right, well, business as usual then. And then it was funny, like, the anti-gravity thing, I did not expect it to be, no, the high altitude, I did not expect it mm-hmm. to be robbing a Quinjet, leaving the old Avengers Tower. So. And then I really like the tease at the end of the Civil War thing with from the comic, I mean, when he's like, hey, I got press out here. I'm going to introduce you as a mm-hmm. member of the Avengers. And I'm like, they're going this quick with this? And then when he said, no, I'm not going to do it, I was like, oh, okay. So one thing that's going to need to be explained is Pepper and Tony were having problems in Civil War, and then all of a sudden she's back and they're all lovey-dovey again.
Yeah, like he's about to... he's about to drop the question, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, like,
what?
I think it was funny where it's kind of like she wasn't in all the moods because of scheduling. People were wondering about that, and I guess they weren't lying because all of a sudden she's just there like, oh, I'm back. We worked it out. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like I know people make fun of like all stuff that happens, quote-unquote, all panel, but it's like everything doesn't necessarily have to happen in the same week. Like time has gone by since all the stuff with Berlin. And, like, because even they made the joke when they had the old Captain America detention tapes. They're like, yeah, you know, it's funny watching Cap with these gem tapes. You know, he's a wanted fugitive by now, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Like, you know, time has gone by in people's lives and stuff is gone, but they don't necessarily beat you over the head with it. It's just enough that, you know, like, stuff's happened, and this is the after effect. But that was definitely surprising, like, her just popping up, and... they do have good chemistry together. I will give them credit for that. Yeah. And that's saying something because, like, Gwyneth Paltrow can be very frosty, to put it nicely. But for whatever reason, she tends to be likable in these Marvel movies because she's not really likable in anything else. So.
Even in real life, she's not likable at all. Yeah. Not at all.
So, yeah. And it's funny where another thing people call the diversity thing, like, it was just a thing. They didn't beat you over the head because think about it. You know, the Vulture has a black wife. They have a mixed race child that's attracted to Peter Parker. And it's like, cool. Peter Parker's best friend is the chubby Filipino guy. He's in school where, you know, Asians and Africans and Middle Eastern and everything like that. It's like New York is a mix like that. And you just see it and it's just done. And people acting naturally. And like, it shouldn't be a big deal. And the fact that they just treat it like this is just how it is kind of threw people off. Because people aren't used to seeing that. Especially like Marvel. Like Marvel for a long time looked kind of a certain way. And the fact that this movie didn't kind of stood out, and the fact that they felt more like real teenagers. They didn't feel like, you know, I'm 16 going on 35. Like, I'm talking like I'm Woody Allen. Like, no.
Yeah.
They're making, like, porn. They're making porn jokes and, you know, Mary F. Kill jokes and stuff like that. Stuff people talk about in high school. They're talking about that stuff. They're not talking about, like, you know, I'm about to work on my 401k.
their stock dividends and whatever else. Yeah, the F. Mary Kill. I really liked Hannibal Buress's small cameos as the gym teacher.
Yeah,
especially when he put the videotape? Yeah, it was a videotape.
It was a videotape. Yeah.
Okay, so there's supposed to be this advanced school, and they got a videotape, like a VCR still, which that kind of made me laugh. But then it was Cap's physical fitness, you know, the old Ronald Reagan fitness thing, and he goes, well, this guy may or may not be a war criminal. I don't care. They told me to play it, so watch it. and just in that Hannibal Buress delivery, and then the later one, the Cap cameos were good too. As the so you got the tension, and then the spoiler that the after credit one cracked me up.
Oh, that had that everybody so laughing because it just made people feel so damn dumb.
He's like, you know, patience. Sometimes patience can be rewarded with something cool or something great and there's something spectacular. It's like sometimes your patience isn't rewarded at all and you just look and go, wow, that's some really dumb stuff here. And I was like, that's going to be it, isn't it? And then he goes, how many more of these we got to go? Okay. So, yeah, that was cool. It was funny because, you know, it was in character, but you could tell Chris Evans kind of probably had some fun with that.
Because
he seems to be the one guy that just doesn't seem to be into doing these movies anymore. Like, everybody else, you know, I know he just re-signed, but
I mean, he was the guy trying to get out. No, I think it's more the character he's the least jokey joke.
True.
Character, yeah. It's kind of like, even when he cracks jokes, it's more like the expense of himself. It's like, you know, I'm steadfast, I'm solid backbone. Because, like, even Mark Ruffalo, when he's, you know, Bruce Banner can be funny. Like, everybody else kind of, like, has a sense of humor about stuff, some a lot more than others. And Captain America has to be, like, Mr. Straight Face.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, like, he didn't really have too many jokes. Well, you know, I guess the Civil War, when he said, I'm 90, I'm not dead, or something like that.
Yeah, it was kind of like, Winter Soldier, he making jokes about, you know, when he had wore the tight jeans. If I try to run too fast, these things, I fall apart. Or, yeah, like, stuff like that. So, it's never been like, he's had a few lines here and there, but it's never been like the joke show, like with like Iron Man, or with Thor being fish out of water and everything like that. Or even like Doctor Strange cracking jokes.
Yeah.
So I think it just fits his character. Like, you know, it's going to be a thing because people keep talking about how with these two Avenger movies, how things are going to look different. And the fact that they're talking about they're going to revolve the next phase, the Marvel movies around Spider-Man, kind of says a lot. Like, I mean, that's a good character. It's funny where you're going from, like, high stakes to low stakes. And I think with the way that the movies they've been talking about, because, like, it makes sense because people always talk about, you know, you can tell different stories. It doesn't all have to be, like, save the world. Hey, save yourself, save the neighbor, save yourself.
I'm trying to think with Spider-Man, though. When are you going to run into the fact that they got to get him out of high school? Because if they make these every 2-3 years, like, unless he looks the same, because Harry Potter was a little different because they got him as little kids, but it became pretty clear near the end that kid shouldn't be in, what, 8th grade or whatever the hell grade or step.
I mean,
step
it helps that he's young and looks like they look young, and they are not only that they're young, they're not like 20, look like they're 30.
Yeah,
they're 20 and look like young, like him and the other kid and Zendaya. And speaking of her, She was hilarious. And like, and it's funny where they didn't use her that much, but every time they used it, it worked. And it's real funny seeing, like, you can tell she's like supermodel level gorgeous, and they tried as much as they can to kind of make her look plain. And even is like, yeah, like this is cool. Like her trying to play the old quirky antisocial, like she just popped up detention. Like, oh, I don't even had to, like, why are you here? You don't have detention. Oh, I just want to draw the face of despair. And just say it all straight. Like, she's like that super emo, super smart kid that you probably went to school with that probably got on your nerves, but you still had a crush on because she looked the way she looked. And she played that to the damn hilt.
You know, it's funny. When they were talking about her being cast, now apparently she's not Mary Jane. She's a different character. That's what the head of Marvel came out and said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't care. It was just, and we talked about this with like hair and makeup and that, because when they announced the casting of her, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what she looks like. And then you go to the movie, and I'm like, well, where's this chick at? And then it finally slowly started dawning on me. I was like, wait a minute, is that the one everyone was all up in arms about? Like,
mm-hmm.
Wow, she just looked different. I mean, there's enough of her there, obviously, but all the still photos and like previous looks and all that, you know, she's got like little girl glamour thing going. So to see her all unkempt like that, you know, the not so much goth, but like, you know, the,
like Daria.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, like the modern day Daria. It was a little strange. So,
and it's funny when they always do that, they take these super pretty, and apparently there's rumor, confirmed, denied, maybe they might be dating in real life. It's like, hey, Tom Holland, you could do a lot worse. So if that's true, hey, kudos to you.
Get it where you can.
Yeah, get it where you can. So, but it's funny, and then it's like she got that little thing when she's on the team, like, oh, you know, my friends call me MJ, and then everybody like, oh, okay, that whole thing. I get to be MJ without being Mary Jane, so you nerds can shut the hell up.
See, to me, that seemed kind of forced, but I was like, oh, okay, like, whatever. But
I mean, they got better. It's funny where they had better chemistry than him and Liz did. And not that him and Liz didn't get along, but it was kind of like, and I don't blame her. It's like, you know, she likes him. He's a doofus, and he keeps messing things up. And at the end, it's kind of like, you know what? My dad's about to go to jail. I don't got time for all this. I hope you work out whatever it is you're working out, and may God bless you. But I ain't got time for all this.
I liked that a lot. It was whatever, and I'm out of here. Instead of being like, no, Peter. Or it almost seems like the Sam Raimi version, because you know how they ended so serious?
Yeah, and it was reversed. Like, that first was like, yeah, I love you, it's like that, but I can't be with you, so I'm going to walk away.
Right.
I'm going to walk away this funeral in slow motion like a dickhead, like I'm Batman. And this one is kind of like, you know, she getting him like, I got important stuff to do, and you don't got your stuff right, so kick rocks.
And then, to wrap up that and wrap up the show, that's one of the best Marvel endings they've ever had. it doesn't mean that she's going to find out. He can come up with some excuse, I'm sure.
Cause he finds out.
Well, no, I know. But it's like, yeah, in the comics, he was always getting caught and always coming up with something else. But the fact, because you have this big emotional moment where, you know, Tony Stark gives him back the suit after turning down the thing, which, you know, he kind of surprised Tony Stark because he really had a press conference there, regardless of what he thought. To have that moment, and then I'm like, oh, is that how they're going to end this? All right. I figured it was going to end. Usually it ends with him swinging around, or in the last ones, doing something to Spider-Man, you know, like the old Superman thing,
mm-hmm.
You know? And then this is like, oh, he's going to put the suit on and take off. And all of a sudden, there's Aunt May. What the fuck? And then boom. And, you know, they cut it off so she couldn't say it. But that was fantastic. And the whole crowd busted out laughing.
Yeah, because it's like, all the times he's normally careful, and then the one time he's just there in slow mo, I'm admiring myself, and the door just opened. It's kind of like, yeah, you forget, like, he's still a kid learning kid stuff. And yeah. that was hilarious, because it was unexpected. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all, and I was wondering how it ended. And then she just popped up and saw that. And at least the one thing I like about this is that they didn't treat people like dummies.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, when Ned found out, he's like, oh, I hit the Spider-Man. He's like, you're calling on the ceiling. Like, come on now. And then he's asking questions like normal teenagers ask, like, you know, Can you control miniature spiders? Do you know Captain America? Can you lay eggs? Can I try to sue? You know, can I tell anybody? And how does it feel to like to be a hero and you can't brag about it? So like stuff people would think about. It shows kind of like the whole how like because a lot of heroes are like they don't want to be heroes and some of them love it. They don't got to worry about they get the revel and like you know it must be awesome being Iron Man because everyone knows your face. You're already this rich guy and then you're a superhero. So it's kind of like imagine Batman didn't have to hide who he was and he didn't have all that mental drama. It's like, yeah, I'm fucking Batman. Look at me. Take a selfie. I'm Batman. Like that. Look at my ride. I got $1 billion. Y'all can fix hunger. You see that Batmobile? I can go 0 to 60 in a second. Like,
and if something gets in the way, I'll just run through it or over it.
Yeah, like it'd have to be an awesome film to be that. So the fact that for Spider-Man, he's doing all these awesome things that people know and care about, and no one knows. Like that has to be something. Like you're a teenager, and you just want, and it's kind of like he's doing it for the right reasons, and he's doing it for the right thing. It's not a, like he's still humble and it's like that. It's still got to get at you. Yeah. So I liked the fact that they had the interaction with him and his friend, and then the whole stuff. Once they changed the, they took off the training wheels off the suit, and it was Jennifer Connelly's voice. Yeah, that was some funny stuff because she was. It's funny when they do the whole AI thing when they don't know if they want to play like deadpan. Like the deadpan ones always were straightforward. Like, oh, we got a million settings. You want to try to it's the lethal one.
Yeah,
like little things, and I like the interaction because it's kind of like it's this person that understands Peter. And he can be himself and like bounce ideas off. That's older. That's not a kid. But it's not a character. It's just a voice. And it's a reason why a lot of movies do that because it's if you do it well, it works.
And the one thing I also liked in this, he kept his mask on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me insane. So like there was a part where he was eating and he called on the phone and he did the old Spider-Man thing. There was a lot of homages to the comic. I mean, obviously the concrete thing, but then like him eating lunch on top of the a burrito? No,
something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And eating that with just the mask just on the nose, and then that sort of stuff I really enjoy because it's homage to the comics. But then also I know why they do it, but every single second they could, those Sam Raimi ones, they took his goddamn mask off. In this one, I'm guessing a lot of it was CGI, so it didn't really matter. But if he doesn't want people knowing who he is, he wouldn't be taking his mask off all the goddamn time. And they really addressed it and just really went with it, and it was great. Because to me, this was the first one that really felt like Spider-Man. A kid, and he's got other problems, he's scared. When, I know I said we're going to wrap up, which we need to, but when the building collapsed on him and he was under the yelling for help.
Yeah.
You don't get that. And that's when it really kind of hits you that this is a teenager who is bitten off way more than he can chew and never expected that to happen. It was great. And then I was like, this is going to be the scene from what is it? Number 33, 38, something like that, to where he just lifts the building. He lifts everything up. And when he did it, I was like, oh, my God, this is so fucking cool. But I tried to just contain myself instead of, like, pounding my fist on the armrest, which I've been known to do.
Remember that's the comic book.
Yep, exactly. now that Elise, I drag her to a lot of them, I'll grab her leg. Like, if something cool, like, if something that's comic-related that doesn't really matter happens, I'll, like, grab her leg real hard. And then by, like, the end of some movie, she's like, stop it. I'm like, all right. Because she wants to know, first, she wants to know what I'm doing. Well, no, I'm sorry. Secondly, she wants to know what I'm doing. Firstly, I'm probably starting to hurt her by then. So I'm much bigger than she is. So, but, yeah, so I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'll be happy to see another one because they set up a lot. I didn't figure out that was Scorpion at the end talking to
Matt Gargan
/ the Vulture, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've got. Oh my God, I forgot the other guy's name already. Well, they got the Prowler if they want to put Donald Glover back in, but
they got the Shocker.
That's it. Yeah,
but they killed Shocker 1, but they got Shocker 2, yeah. So. And it's funny where the villain lives.
Yes, very good, too. It's, yeah. I'm tired of them killing villains off.
I'm glad he – that was the first one. Like, I was thinking, like, I hope he doesn't die. Like, that's the first time in a long time where I was like, you know – because usually, like, villains kind of like, you know, it's indifferent or you want them to die. And this was like, I hope he survives. Because he wasn't – he was a villain, but he wasn't really evil. It was just like he was just trying to get by and do what he needed to do, and it just led him down that path. And it was he played enough where you could understand where he was coming from. You weren't necessarily on his side, but you could kind of get it. Like, you know, hey, people protecting family and friends, and him being loyal to his family and friends and not just saying it. Like, you know, not like Breaking Bad, Walter White saying, I just care about my family. It's like, no. Okay, when you took care, you had enough to cover your cancer is one thing. And if you want to have enough to have some money in the bank, that's fine. If you've been doing this enough that you got $50-something million, I don't want to hear crap about your family. Yeah. Like, we way past worrying about, you know, college.
Yeah.
At this point. So the fact that Tombs, like, this whole thing was, you know, my family and my crew, and we want to keep our heads down, like, take care of each other and, like, enforce it and... Yeah, and the fact it was kind of like, and it reinforced the whole thing with Spider-Man, like, he risked his life to try to save Tombs. Because he's like, you know, it's a bomb, it's about to blow up. And then he's like, Spider-Man doesn't win the fight. He just saves him after Tombs, like, after the Vulture's, you know, costume blows up. And that's another thing that kind of stood out, was like, you know, he wins by showing mercy, not winning by punching his lights out.
And then just tied him up and left him, like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So,
and the fact that he didn't snitch me in the jail, like, you know, if I knew who it was, you know, you think he'd be around? Kind of like, the guy did save my life and everything. And it's just curious where if they did another movie, he could still be a villain. He could be an anti-hero. Like, they could be, like, it's a lot of different directions they could go to. And Michael Keaton looked like he was enjoying the hell out of playing that role. So, you know, like, there's a line from Batman, you can die a hero or live long enough to be the villain, and that's what Michael Keaton did.
Yes, but with some sort of weird moral code, too. Like, he wouldn't give up Spider-Man because he helped save his daughter and then helped save him. So it's pretty weird, but... No, it's weird only because it's different, for Marvel movies especially. Because everyone's been a bad guy or not. So, I guess except Winter Soldier, but... You know, that didn't really happen until Civil War, so... But anyways, yeah, I don't know what we're doing about movies this week. I'm still on the fence about Planet of the Apes. We'll see. I got the next 4 days off, so that'll be nice. But, she wants to see The Beguile, but I don't know how to tell her that it's not in theaters anymore, so... yeah. So anyways, so we'll figure that out. Battlegrounds next Sunday, right? Oh, Game of Thrones is Sunday.
Yes, it is.
All right, so I ordered my HBO. And one drawback, having DirecTV Now, just for anyone who's out there, if you order HBO through them, because it's cheaper than getting the HBO Now app, the Now app is, I think, $15. If you just add HBO to like my DirecTV Now, it's $5, okay? you get HBO, cool, HBO East, HBO Family, HBO Latino, and that's it. No HBO 2, no HBO Signature, no HBO Action, none of that stuff, just the three. And I was like, oh, well, it is $5.
Wow. First world problem, you only get three HBOs and not seven HBOs.
Yeah, so. But again, they don't play any movies I want to see anyways, so who cares? So it's all for the shows now, but... So I'm going to get out of here on that note. Everyone follow us on Stunt Granny, all social media. Same with the podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, I guess, SoundCloud. But, yeah. For the time being. grab those rare collector's items off of SoundCloud. I don't think that's how it works, but it sounded good when I said it. So I'm out of here. Everyone have a good weekend, and we'll get at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I am Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and check out your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. We are out.